Again, we're grateful for your presence this morning. I appreciate those of you that are in Bible class and those of you that have now come for our worship. And we invite you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter chapter number 3 and our scripture reading we just heard a few moments ago. As this weekend, we've been trying to focus upon our families, and just because family is so important and homes are so important, because they're actually the building blocks of our society and of civilization. And as our homes weaken, so will our society. And so will our nation. And we need to continue to remember that God is our director and God is our founder for our homes. And therefore, we look into His precious will. We look for His guidance and we seek to be obedient unto that. So this morning, as we look at 1 Peter chapter number 3, an aspect of having a better homes and greater families is as a result of better marriages. I want to share with you this morning some building blocks or building bricks for marriages to be stronger in our relationships. And it is the Apostle Peter, not Wayne, it's the Apostle Peter that gives three building bricks or three building blocks for winsome wives and for honorable husbands. And we're going to look at those in each one, because our better homes begins with mom and dad. We've talked about parenting. We've talked about children realizing how precious and special our parents are. But bottom line is, parents, better homes begin with us as husbands and wives, as mothers and fathers. The truth is, there's only one out of every four homes that is reasonably happy and permanent. And even some Christian homes continue to fall apart. So for us to say, well, we just need to build our homes on the Word of God, that's true. But just simply making that statement and making that observation is not enough. While we need to build our homes on the will of God and on the Word of God, we need to understand exactly what those building blocks are. So this morning, we'll look at three for the wives and three for the husbands. We want to be equal, right? We want to be fair. So we'll do three on each side of these building blocks and building bricks. 1 Peter 3, verse 1 and 2. Likewise, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some of you do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of your life, when they observe your chaste conduct that is accompanied by fear. Here's the first building brick, or the first building block, an attitude. An attitude of submission. He says, be submissive, wives, to your own husbands. He's talking about an action. He's talking about a submissive spirit, a submission that takes action to do that. And I would suggest to you that you do it with a proper spirit and with a proper attitude, because if you do not do it voluntarily, then you're really not submitting the way that God would want us to do that. In fact, the word be submissive comes from a military term in the Greek language that literally means to place under rank. In other words, please understand something, ladies. This is not a matter of inferiority. It's not talking about being inferior. It's rather talking about the matter of authority. God, in His infinite wisdom, understands. Here is women, so precious and so delicate, that in the sight of God, they're just as worthy as a man. Galatians 3, 27 and 28. So we're not talking about inferiority. Equality is not the issue. Equality is not the question. There is not superior man, inferior woman. No, it is different roles. And God simply says, now wives, you are to be submissive to your own husband. God says there must be a divine order for the home to function properly. You know, there's divine order. There's God. There's Christ. There's husband. There's wife. And God has given us this order because in His sovereignty, God has said, women, out of your submission, out of this attitude of being submissive to my husband and to my mate. And a husband, understand something. You violate your role as a leader of your home if you're doing that with with a spirit of superiority. What I find in the observation of women and wives, that a husband that will love his wife as Christ loved the church, that godly woman has no problems with submitting with the right spirit, with the right heart. And here's the first building brick. The first building brick and the first building block is ladies, wives, you submit to your husband. There's this attitude of submission. But then there's a second brick he talks about, verse 3 and 4. Do not let your beauty be that outward adorning of the arranging of the hair and of wearing gold and putting on fine apparel. So he goes from an attitude of submission to the adornment. To the adornment of serenity. In other words, ladies, the Apostle Peter instructs you on how to be perpetually beautiful. He gives a realm in which real beauty, he gives you a beauty course. And you know, it'd be pretty wise for us to listen to this beauty course. The word adorning, in verse number 3, let your adorning, that is coming from the same Greek word in which we get the word cosmetic. You ever been to a cosmetic counter? You ever been to a cosmetic department of a store? It's the same Greek word that is a word adorning in verse number 3. Now, I think it's interesting to go back and look at what historians tell us about the meaning of this verse in Bible times. Historians share with us, and what they would do, the women of that day and time, they would go to great extremes and tremendous lengths of braiding their hair and of arranging massive spirals and swirls that would stand several inches above their head. And what they would do in this spiral or this swirl, they would take strands of gold and strands of pearl and they would weave it into the hair. And therefore they would make it a very impression of great brilliance with all the gold and all the glitter and all the pearls. So that when you would look at that individual, it would stand out and you'd go, wow, look at that. You know, I can remember years ago that a lot of ladies in our area that when I was a kid, they would wear hair way up and they would be, you know, kind of like a beehive, you know. They would wear it real high and it would be swirled all around their head. And I remember one occasion we were at a ball game and my dad lost his footing coming down the bleachers and he kind of lost his footing and he kind of stumbled and he hit this lady's hair and literally it goes like over to the side. And she wasn't happy. And my dad was very scared. Well, it was that type of an ordeal with these women. They would literally spend so much time and attention and they would adorn it that those women would be captivated. And Peter says, ladies, don't be so captivated with the fashions of the day like they were and compete with each other in dress and hairdress. In other words, he says in verse 3 and 4, look at it in verse 4, but don't give just the attention to that, but to the hidden person of the heart, the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit. In other words, Peter says, don't major on the external decorations, but on the internal character. There's a building block. There's a brick for the foundation of your home. Don't give all your attention of majoring on the external decorations, but on the internal character. Don't let your cosmetics, your adorning, just be on the outside. Let it also be and major on that which is on the inside. Now, ladies, that does not mean you need to neglect yourself. Appearance is important. You know, for some of us men, it's hard to find a great interest in a wife who smells like she has been dipped in Lysol. And sometimes it's hard to, hard to find interest in an individual who will walk around the house all day looking like an unmade bed. Okay? He's not saying ignore, do not give any attention to the outward. What he is saying is don't major on the external, but make sure you major on the internal of the character. That's where real beauty will come from. Be pure from within, but don't stop there. It's okay to go to the outside also. But just understand, real beauty of character, physical beauty, really becomes from the inside. Because one who is godly, and I love the wording, gentle and quiet spirit, they're very precious in the sight of God. There's a lesson on beauty. It starts from the inside. And you become far more beautiful the closer we are to God. Because, listen, ladies and gentlemen, our parents, you know our parents, Mother Nature and Father Time, they're going to take care of this outward beauty. I mean, they're going to take care of that. We're going to change. You know, you're going to have some wrinkles and you may have to start wearing these cheaters and things like that. And you know, the outward beauty is just not going to stay there. But he says, you know what, ladies? You can be beautiful forever. There is a perpetual beauty course. When you're beautiful on the inside, you tend to be far more beautiful on the outside. And so Peter says, here's a real building block. You know, I like what one fellow said. Real beauty must come from the heart, not the store. Real beauty must come from the heart, not the store. There's a third building brick. We've gone from the attitude of submission to the adornment of serenity. And now the third brick is in verse number 6. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and not afraid within the terror. The third one is attention. Attention of my service. Now, understand something when he says, Abraham was called by Sarah Lord. The word Lord there is not the same word for God. So gentlemen, just let me go ahead and tell you. It's not the same word for God. Okay? In other words, our wives are not to be bowing down and calling us God and calling us Lord. You know, it's like one lady, her husband decided that he was going to demand more submission and more respect out of his wife. So he got real, real demanding. And he said to her one day, he said, you know what, I was just reading the Word of God, and I noticed Sarah obeyed Abraham and called him Lord. So I really think from this point forward, you ought to be calling me Lord. And she looked at him, and with much kindness as she could, and the love that she had, her response was this, and yes, when you can father a child at 100, I'll call you Lord. It's not the word for God, just understand. It's a word that literally means you pay close attention to. That's what the word here really means in the Greek language. You pay very close attention, meeting the needs of another. Wives, listen to this closely. You are to be the helpmeet for your husband. God made woman from the rib of man, taken from his side. And the ideal and the thought is this, ladies, he needs to get it back. And the only way he can get it back is through your attention and through your activity of life. It is, you are to be a helper, a completer. The Word of God says a help meet. Literally, a helper or one who will complete this individual. In other words, as you complete your husband, a part of him is missing without this attention, without this activity of service that you render unto him. The word Lord means you just give him very close attention, because when you do that, then you're giving him the completion that God would have you to be. See, a wife is to be a completer, not his competition. a helper that fulfills and completes. You know, you are to complete your husband, not finish him off. You'll be a completer, a helper that is fit for him, to live by his side, to help meet his physical and his sexual and psychological and professional needs of life. In other words, he is to be stronger because of you. That's what a completer means. He is to be stronger because of your attention and your activity in his life. So ladies, when you look at 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 6, here's three building bricks. An attitude of submission, an adornment of the inner character, and an attention of your service to your husband. And now, he says, husbands, let me give you three building blocks. If you're going to have a happy home and a marvelous marriage, then here's three building blocks for you as husbands. And he says, I've given the advice and the instruction to bar a wonderful wife. Now, if you want to be an honorable husband, you will listen to the attention of the Word of God in verse number 7. Likewise, in verse 7, husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding. The first building brick or building block, consideration. Consideration. Live, dwell with them. Or some translation says, with consideration. You live with this consideration. When he says you dwell with them, listen folks, that means a whole lot more than just coming home in the afternoon or coming home at night and being there and eating the same food and eating the same table and sleeping in the same bed. When it says you dwell with them, it literally means a Greek word that you are closely aligned with. In other words, he says you dwell, you're closely aligned with. Notice the key word there of with. That deep down togetherness. Just eating at the same table and sleeping in the same bed doesn't mean you have deep down togetherness. It doesn't mean that you dwell with, that you live with. It is that task that a husband has to lay the groundwork for domestic harmony. It literally, in verse 7, when it says, husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding. Literally it says, husbands, think about how to live with your wife. Think about it. Give it thought. Give it attention. Oh, sure, we think differently. You know, it is a proven fact today that generally speaking, that husbands and wives operate and function out of different sides of the brain. I mean, we kind of have the logic side, and they kind of have the emotion side. And, you know, and so we're always looking, how can I fix it? I mean, 2 and 2 is always 4. Give me the problem, I'll fix it. And sometimes the wife says, it's not broken. Don't fix it. Just listen to me. Listen to me. Sometimes my wife will come in, she says, I just need you to hold me. You know, sometimes we men, we're going, hold you? You know, we may not have that need. You know, there's probably very few of us in this auditorium as men, as husbands, have gone to our wives and said, honey, I just need you to hold me. Now, maybe you have, and we should. But our wives may come to us and say, you know what? I don't need you to fix this. I don't need your logic. I don't need your wisdom. I just need your arms around me and hold me. And you may go, I don't understand that. She didn't ask you to understand it. She asked you to do it. And you may never understand that. You may never get your little mind around that. Because God didn't create us that way. See, we're going to look at it logically. And we're thinking, okay, I'll hold you. Now what can I do? How can I fix it? What's wrong? There's got to be something wrong if you need me to hold you. How can I repair it? How can I fix it? See, it's those type things that Peter is talking about when he says, dwell with them. You live with an understanding, with knowledge. In other words, knowledge is you should know more about your wife than anyone else. You should know more about your wife than her girlfriend or the lady she works with. You need to know more about... Yes, that's what dwelling means. You give attention and you think about how to live with this woman that God has given you as your mate for life. You understand. Or he says, you dwell with understanding or with knowledge. You know about her thoughts and about her dreams and her expectations and what her fears are. You look for that and you seek for that. And husband says, I want to do that with understanding. I'm going to be considerate. So here's the first building block for a husband. Consideration. Dwell with understanding. How well do you know your wife? The simple things of life. And the major things of her heart. How often do you ask about those dreams and those fears and those concerns? How much do you know? That's what he says. Husbands, dwell with understanding. Second word, first one is consideration. The second word is courtesy. Giving honor to the wife as a weaker vessel. Now some of us men, we really like that. You say, yeah. You just remember, woman, which is the stronger in this relationship. Now, you know, I'm not real big and strong and mighty, but I really feel confident that I can take my wife 2 out of 3 falls. I really do. I believe I could. Now, she'd be a scrapper, but I think I could take her 2 out of 3 falls and win the match. Because, you know, I feel like even though I'm pretty weak, I'm probably a little stronger than her. So is that what he's talking about? You just look up on that woman and be thankful she's weaker that you can take her down if you need to. Oh, no, 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 no. That's not courtesy. That's not courtesy. Uh-uh. Don't go there. They might surprise you. You might be looking for a right hook and she'll give you a left undercut. So he says, it's not about who's the strongest, who can lift the most weight, who can do the most push-ups. Who can curl the most. Okay, I just got 55. How much do you do? Give honor. Notice it, folks. Giving honor comes before the weaker vessel. Give honor. Courtesy. Respect. Here's something very interesting, gentlemen. The word honor or respect in verse 7 is the same Greek word that's translated precious in 1 Peter 1, verse 7. Did you get that? Honor or respect in 1 Peter 3, 7 is the same Greek word that's translated precious of your faith being more precious than gold in 1 Peter 1, verse 7. So just remember, 1:7, 3:7. In other words, Peter's trying to help us understand something, guys. Your wife is to be precious to you. Honor and respect. Sometimes I hear women today say in our culture and in our society, you know what? I just want to be equal to men. Not too long ago, I had a lady tell me that. I just want to be equal to men. And you know what my response to her was? Why are you going to step down? Why do you want to step down? If you're going to try to be equal to men in God's role here, then you're taking a back seat. You're stepping down. God says, I'm placing women and wives on a pedestal. She is to be looked after and supported and honored and respected and treated with courtesy and treated with compassion and to be treated with love. And you want to step down from that? You want to be stepping down from being the queen of your husband's heart? Why would you take a step backwards? It's not about equality, ladies. Gentlemen, it's not about equality and being the stronger of the home. It's about courtesy and respect. And honor. I mean, how do you honor and respect your wife? Do you ever brag on her and compliment her and encourage her as she manages a household, and you compliment her character, and you tell her how much you appreciate her being the mother of your children and the influence in your home. Guys, listen to me. The Word of God never commands husbands to rule over your wife. He commands husbands to be the leader of the home. There's a difference in being the leader of the home and the head of the house and the ruler of the household. He says you are to be the husband. You are to be the head. You are to be the leader. And you will never coerce your wife into submission. When she is coerced, she hasn't submitted. She's only yielded. And the Word of God says we want submission, not yielding. I love the fellow that came home one day, and he was kind of real timid, and him and his wife was having some difficulties, and the counselor suggested, said, "You know, sir, you need to be a little more aggressive. I mean, you're letting your wife take advantage of you, and you need to be a little more aggressive." So he reads this book on about aggression. He comes home one afternoon, and he slams the door, and he says, "Lady, come over here, woman." She comes over. He said, "I want you to know, starting today, are you listening to me? Starting today, when I come home, I want dinner to be on the table. I want my bath water to be run, and I want it nice and warm. And when I take my, after we eat and I go take my bath, you know who's going to comb my hair and brush my teeth?" She said, "Yes." He said, "Who?" She said, "The funeral home." When I read that, you know what? Verse 7 didn't come to my mind. That wasn't about courtesy. That wasn't about respect. That wasn't about honor. Fellas, here's a building block for our marriages. You love your wives into a spirit of submission. You don't force her. You don't coerce her. And when you will make her the queen of your heart, she will make you the king of her life. You understand that? Husbands, we're the leaders. God says, not Wayne, God says, you are to understand that role just like Christ loves the church. We are to love our mates. Show them courtesy and possess a spirit toward them that would lift them up. There is consideration. There is courtesy. And now in verse 7, there is communion. And being heirs together of the grace of life. Heirs with you. Living together as that one flesh and sharing the most intimate parts of our hearts and of our lives. I love the phrase, the gracious gift, or a grace of life in verse 7. That's a beautiful phrase. And I believe that gracious gift of verse 7 is a beautiful relationship of marriage. Peter is saying that marriage is to be a grace of life. It's that extra to the gift of life. You know, when I have a chocolate sundae, banana split, chocolate shake from Steak and Shake, I like a cherry on top. And I believe that's kind of what Peter is saying. Here's a communion. It's kind of like the cherry on the top of life. The communion is, he says, you're heirs together in the grace of the life of marriage. Isn't that a beautiful picture? The grace of life. The preciousness of life. The sharing, the communion of our homes should be the dearest and the nearest place to heaven on earth. I believe that with all my heart, brethren. That the nearest and the dearest place on this earth next to heaven should be our homes. Heavenly homes that will come from wonderful wives and honorable husbands. and to see the communion. Now, you want to see how vital this is? You want to see how important this is? Continue reading in verse 7. Heirs together with the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. You want to see how God looks upon the relationship of marriage? It is so vital and so important, it can hinder your prayer life. Now, folks, that's pretty serious. It can hinder your prayer life when we do not have those homes and we do not fulfill the roles that God has designed for me as a husband and as a wife. And maybe this morning you look at your heart and you look at your life and you say, wow. Verse 7 doesn't really describe me as a husband. Verses 1 through 6 really doesn't give a description of me as a wife. And I'm sorry for that. I mean, the bottom is falling out. We're struggling. Well, I would suggest, why don't you go back and look in 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 7, and ask yourself, what kind of bricks and blocks are you using to build your marriage? And I believe here are three building bricks that you can be a wonderful wife, and three building bricks and blocks that you can be an honorable husband. Now, what are we going to do with it? Do you need to surrender? Do you need to submit your will to the will of God and baptism for the remission of your sins? Do you need to surrender your will to God and no longer looking at yourself, but seeing what His will is for your marriage and for your home? And you need to ask the prayers of this church and the forgiveness of your Father in heaven as together we stand in the scene.